Again, my name's Andy Warnberger. I've been playing this kind of this interim build role for probably close to 10 years now, helping developers and adapting infrastructure and whatnot. And with the advent of NuGet, there's this whole new opportunity that we have to make our life just a little bit easier, right? I mean, a lot of us work in small, medium, large companies, right? We have disparate different teams. And, you know, a lot of times we get in scenarios where we're sharing code. And NuGet presents us now a facility that we can start sharing things. So today, just going to kind of go over an overview. I promise I'm not going to do death by slideware. We're going to do a little slides up front and then get into some demos. Some of them are going to be kind of pre-popped when it gets into, like, for example, setting up a NuGet feed, whatnot, so we can get into some of the meat of actually getting through of a scenario where we have a framework team and a web team that are trying to integrate and using NuGet. So we're going to go into some automated packaging, get into this idea of continuous integration build versus a release build or a big build, consuming that, and then some governance. Because one of the big things you get into is that, you know, you get into a scenario where you have a lot of teams that might be producing a lot of different code. Those teams have different situations for their support. You know, for example, you know, team A consumes team B, and team A might want to move ahead and not support five versions back. How do they let team B know that? And what's kind of the teeth behind it? And that's where we get into some of the governance and some workflow where we can help teams communicate or force that communication through a little bit of technology in a good way. So just kind of an overview of the demo. I have a VM set up with a bunch of different things. And as time goes on, my blog is, and I'll blast it at the end. I'll start publishing, you know, how I did the setup, some scripts, some basic things to kind of help you set up. Also want to mention that that part of this demo shows, you know, some branching concepts, and those are taken from the standard 2010 guidance up on CodePlex. So development in enterprise, right? I kind of talked on this a little bit. You know, it's usually this really kind of interesting train wreck of teams, you know, working with disparate goals, with different motivations, on different timelines, and sometimes even different methodologies. But ultimately, they're trying to reach the same goal, right? They're contributing code to that same goal of whether it's a public website, some internet apps, or you know, whatever the case may be. Where we get into different teams trying to work with each other, there's a challenge in distribution. You know, how do you get the new stuff? You know, how do you know what's published when? I mean, there's sometimes you have, you know, wikis, you have SharePoints, you have various different, you know, email threads. You know, hey, you have lunch with a buddy of yours across the street. And, you know, that's how you find out about these things. So what if we created a way that it might be easier where we can just go and see what's out there? And then also knowing what's supported and what's approved. You know, a lot of situations in an enterprise, you have, you know, some type of a centralized architecture or governance team that's saying that, you know, we're going to allow the use of, like, Elma or, you know, various kind of mock frameworks or whatnot, or, you know, versions of internal aspects. But how do you really know without, you know, attending large meetings or reading items? So we're going to see what we can do by using NuGet to try to help that. And really what this is trying to help is that cost of integration. Whether you're doing Agile, Scrum, Waterfall, whatever other, you know, hokey religion or whatnot you're using to try to, you know, finish the work that you have, at some point you have to pay that price of integrating the next version. And with libraries inside of NuGet and some of the functionalities from the from PowerShell, the PowerShell add-ins and whatnot, there's some you know, some definite you know, facilities there to make it easier. If you're producing assemblies for other teams, you can go and influence config files, help them set up some static data, do a bunch of sort of things, because, you know, it's great that we can actually create an I win button. And that's really what it is, right? It's trying to figure out a framework we can put in place that allows teams to produce assemblies and teams to consume them easily. So NuGet in the enterprise, right? So let's just kind of freeform and think of NuGet.acme.com. A standard place where you could go and configure Visual Studio to go that would have, you know, maybe a series of feeds, right? It'd be an authoritative list of supported and improved packages. You know, where it comes to the process, right, is it will mimic a branching strategy. Having a C, you know, for today's example, we're going to look at a very basic one, a CI and a release feed. And then we're going to hook it into some automation. What we want to do is make it easy for teams to produce those basic packages. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and create a, let's say, I create a bunch of assemblies. I just want to wrap it in a NuGet. I want to have my version build auto-published somewhere. I want to have a way to be able to say, this version is something I want people to use, and this is a version I don't want people to use. And then once we get into that easy part, again, we get into that idea of, right, you know, the PowerShell add-in to NuGet plus the COM interface, or sorry, the managed interface, ENV, DTE of Visual Studio, you get into some really interesting scenarios. So let's now I've kind of bored you a little bit with some feeds. Let's just look at some slides. Let's go look at setting up a feed. It's real simple, right? I've done a lot of the work, so what I have here is just a basic VM, right? I have, you know, the infamous default website, and I'm using the old NuPack name, but I've set up two virtual directories here. And primarily today, I don't want to go through and rebuild and push this out, but just to kind of walk you through the process, you can go up to nugetcodeplex.com. I went through and I found when the 1.0 branch was cut. Just went through, you know, did the whole click, download the source into a directory. You know, you get something unpacked like this. You know, run ms build newpack.solution. You know, some real simple stuff, right? You can actually put that in a Visual Studio if you want, but really you can just say ms build, magic things happen. And inside of that directory, there's a newpack.server. So I did the real kind of basic, just took these outputs, created a couple of virtual directories, a little PowerShell to kind of interact with that, right? And just created a CI feed and release feed. Now, what this allows me to do, and again, this is all my one machine, but we can kind of pretend. So let's say I have the framework team. Now, the framework team, right, has created a core assembly with a little version helper here, just something real simple to kind of produce things. And they've set up already two feeds down here, CI and release. So now, if we go and look at this, right, you know, I can go and add these as different feeds. And the intent of the CI and the release feed, we're gonna attach some builds to these, right? We're gonna attach a CI build to our dev branch, and I'll go into kind of how the branching looks. We're going to attach a CI experience to that, and as we all know, continuous integration, check it in, builds happen, it's good stuff, right? I have a pre-built template that I have a little bit of a little customization to, and all that code will also get published up to my blog, and if there's a central location here shortly after the presentation. But the build will create a version build, so we have a versioning structure that we follow. CI will create a version, you know, basically 1.0.something.0. And we want to have NuGet also follow that, because every time I do a build, I want to make sure that my NuGets are getting created properly and that I can go do something with it. And there's a release feed, and this is that elevation point, right? So as we progress through, maybe you have, let's say, a 2-week sprint, you know, you're pounding away on code, you're doing some things, checking it in. NuGet packages are created in your CI feed for local testing, but at some point you want other people to take that on. And that's when you would elevate that to the release feed. Now, when we say elevate, really what that looks like is inside of our default website, there's the NuPack folder, we have CI and release. Under each of these folders, there's a packages directory. And now we'll get to this guy here in a second, but as you can see, right, packages, you just kind of dump packages there. There's also the latest version of the NuGet console allows you to go ahead and publish from the command line, which is also really good. But to differentiate the difference between a CI and release, right, it's really just two folders. So now you can imagine a file share concept where you have privileged people to be able to elevate things, automation around it with scripts, websites. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do. But for today, let's just imagine, right, that the way that we elevate is just copying items from one folder to another. So now I have a Visual Studio. I'm hooked into my different feeds, and we can kind of go through and just, down here, and you can see we're doing a get remote, get package remote. We're listing, we have the new get package, and this is all good stuff. So we have a feed, we have Visual Studio hooked into it. We have some code from our framework team that we now want to start progressing through this process. So let's go back to the get rid of this bar here so I can, there we go. Let's go back to our PowerPoint. All right. So the next thing we're going to do now is we're going to create a NuGet. And we're going to use that NuGet project package that I mentioned. Now, what's interesting about NuGet is that, before you had NuGet and this kind of, this scripting interface to the Visual Studio ID, the Visual Studio interface, you really had to create a Visual Studio add-in to do anything kind of interesting. But NuGet packages don't just have to be about libraries. You can do things with behavior with them to get quite interesting. So what I'm going to do in our project here, so we're just going to look at source control real quick so that we're kind of keeping everyone honest. All right, so we have our dev branch and we have a main branch. And we've already gone ahead and merged in our framework into main. And we have a big build that's on our main branch, and we have a CI that's on our dev branch, and we'll go into the details here in a little bit. But right now, what I want to do is I want to create that NuGet. So I'm just going to go ahead and create a kind of a dummy assembly project. And we'll call this core.nuget. We're just going to remove this guy because really we don't really want to generate an assembly. We're more interested in just this facility of having it inside of a solution to make it easier for build and then maybe do some other interesting things with it. So now I have core.nuget here. We're going to go ahead and switch project down here. And now I'm going to go and install this NuGet project. Now what this guy does is, let's see if I can type in the commands right here. NuGet.project. Here we go. What this guy is going to do is it's going to create a convention in which we're going to go and specify how we structure inside of Visual Studio a NuGet. So we have this thing called package temp. We've created, a new spec file here. We got some tools with some blank things. So we're basically putting in those base placeholders on the structure in which we're going to go and create our NuGet. Now our NuGet's going to basically distribute the core assembly. So we have kind of your stub experience here, and let's just call this, widgets core. Let's just call this widgets core. That sounds good. Description, the widgets framework or package by me. That's great. So we're putting a file section here. And what's a little odd about this, right, is that what we're trying to set ourselves up for is that this project has a relative reference to core, so that when we get into a build scenario, we know how to go and find out what we should be putting in there. This isn't really necessarily meant for building it right in your workstation. This is really meant to enter into a managed build process. So we're going to do a little relative path magic here. We're not necessarily the easiest, but we'll kind of muddle our way through it here. I'm just going to get the properties. Sorry. Make sure that I get this. So core obj debug. There we go. So we're going to have to core obj debug widgets.framework.core.dll. And we're going to want to make this to go to our lib folder. All right, so now what we've done is basically kind of set up a basic new spec. We've done some relative path magic that's going to go back up to our core and include that in. And we're just going to check this in the repository. Now let's go look at the build script here. First NuGet check in. And let's go take a look at what the build script that actually looks like that supports this. So, and this is going to be the primary payload that I'm going to be uploading here. It defines basically a couple different things, right? We have basically this NuGet project, which is just really, you know, a kind of a convention in which I'm storing in source control this project, right? So some simple things, a little PowerShell magic to go and generate files, interact with projects. I have the base packages or the base new spec that's going to get reimaged, and then we have a base PowerShell that we're using to kind of populate those guys. Have a workflow activity. So I'm using team build to do all these builds, and we have a couple of different activities that we'll kind of walk through as we go. And then one of the tricks that you can use when you're doing team build is actually to resolve all these fun little all the fun little references is you can create an assembly project or just a workflow project, do some referencing and linking in a file, and then you can actually get a really nice kind of experience inside of Visual Studio. So now just to walk through what's a little different about this build than all the others is we've added a couple of things. So one, we've changed the name of the actual builds, right? So the builds, there's some new revision stuff inside of 2010, which is really nice. And what we can do with that is has come up with a convention where we can have an auto incrementing number at the end. So what I'm doing here is I'm just storing off a version increment. So as we go from build 1, 2, 3, and 4, I get this incrementing number. Now, one of those workflow activities I was talking about is validate package version. So what this guy does is he takes in the URL to the feed, the source directory, and this is the teeth that we're going to be talking about, right? This is that upfront check. We're going to go through all the packages config for consuming projects, and we're going to go and see to make sure that all the projects or all the packages that a given project references are actually still in that feed. And if not, we'll go ahead and write a message inside the build and give us a partially succeeded so we know that something bad has happened. And as we kind of go through here, we're doing some very crude assembly versioning. This really isn't too interesting. This is just getting us that 4-point, major, minor build numbers, major, minor build and revision numbers. The real fun gets into this process new spec. So this guy, and you'll notice that I'm using code activities, and this is there's some limitations right now in TFS 2010 when it comes to multiple build agents and controllers and things. So the easiest mode is to go down the code activity path here. But the process new spec, this guy basically goes through the process of consuming, finding all the new specs in a given directory, and it does some matching on it. So basically, it's resolving those relative paths based on the build workflows, modifies that new spec on the build machine to then run NuGet, and it's really just executing NuGet with the pack command and a couple of different things. And then toward the end, right, as we go through and run through and find all these new specs that we create, we're going to keep a list of all the NuGet files we've created, and then we're going to elevate them to our CI feed. So, with that being said, right, we've gone through and we've gone through and created a NuGet package. We've elevated that in the source control. We kind of walked through kind of what the build process is going to do. So let's go back to the next part, right? We're going to build some automated packaging, right? So I kind of jumped ahead here, and we'll just go ahead and execute that build. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, we had a CI for that. Okay, so So we created a C, that CI, right? Now, when I checked in that new spec or that new package, the NuGet project, right? It entered a new spec into the repository, and as I was walking through that build workflow, that one point that said manage or that said create new specs, right? It detected it and went and packaged it. So if we go and take a look at this guy, we're just going to change him to a zip file. This is a really bad thing to do, by the way. Don't do this on your thing. Your build guys will freak out, right? We have a lib file now. We have widgets framework core DLL in here. We're going to copy him out just to kind of show that it's a versioned version part. So we have 1.0.2.0, right? So what's really neat about this is that with a little bit of build automation, we've kind of executed the second build of the framework. And it's a CI build, so by convention in my primitive versioning, that should be 1.0.2.0. Major minor 1.0, build version 2 and revision 0, and that's now carried through into the version of the NuGet package. So if we go look at the feeds folder, and that's the release feeds. So now part of that was then elevating that CI, that package up to the CI feed. So now, right, executed a build. It copied, it created the NuGet package, it put it in the drop location, it copied that up to, to the feed. And now if I say if I go over here and I'm going to switch the CI feed, and if I say get package, now I have widgets core, the widgets framework package, right? So 1.0.2. That's great, right? So I've gone from, a project in Visual Studio, little bit of relative file magic, checked it in, build kicked off, and I've now published a package up to the CI feed, which now people can go consume. So in those scenarios where you're working tightly with different teams, you can go in and let them go and live by your latest and greatest if they want, right? Or at least a snapshot at any given point in time. Okay. So we've gone through and we've created a package. Let's see here. Okay, so let's talk about, again, just real quickly, a sample publishing process. So really where all this stuff becomes interesting is that if everyone gets onto the same page with a managed process and they agree on how things are going. So we've talked about creating a version of NuGet packages, right? So build's is going to elevate that latest to the CI feed. Now, what does that really mean, right? When I'm doing an integration part, and let's say there's multiple versions of a package, and then I have dependencies on release packages, right? We have to make sure that kind of all mashes. So really, what happens is, and we're going to use that core package as an example, when we elevate the CI to that CI feed, we're going to remove all the other core packages from the CI feed temporarily. We're going to go to the release feed, find all the core packages, and copy them in the CI, and then copy the one we just built. And the reason why we do that is that there might be other people that are participating in that feed that take a dependency on core, and we need to make sure that all the released versions they're bound on are available in that CI feed, such that if someone's doing an integration activity in the CI feed versus just pulling the latest and greatest from release, you know, they can resolve all those dependencies. Now, of course, I always like to kind of put this in, right? We've elevated, I'll get to the questions here in a second after I get to, for the next demo here. After we've gone through and, you know, it's great that we have a CI and it's great that we're building a lot of stuff and taking up disk space, but at some point someone's got to do some testing. That's really the reason to have that CI feed. Usually, hopefully, that's the team that's producing that package has some mechanism, whether it's a manual test or some test harness, to pull down that package. But you're going to go through this rhythm, right, where you go through some developments. You know, you're going to do CI builds. It's going to publish, munch some files up in the CI feed, do testing. But at some point, you're going to be ready to publish. So then someone's going to take a build output and copy that to the release feed. which then makes you published. So now we're going to go ahead, we're just going to do public, we're going to publish that real quick. So we're going to go back to the, before I go on here, did you install NuGet on your TFS CI builds? Yeah, so good question. Basically, what I did, and I've done this in a few cases, right, is that in the setup of your build controllers, you have this beautiful thing called your path to custom assemblies. So what's great about that is that this becomes a way, you know, let's say you have a complicated team build setup where you have one build controller, and in the scale-out scenario, you have several build agent machines, which are basically slave controllers. You know, keeping them up to date, it can be a bit of a challenge, but the good thing about Team Build 2010, they give you this version control path for custom assemblies. So the trick, and I'll go and, well, let me expand this here real quick. I have this is another thing that's great about Team Build 2010 is a centralization of build templates. So all you could have 20 different projects that feed off of workflow templates in a single area. Right, so what I do is under my I create a build project normally under my build process template. I have an assemblies folder, and that's what I bound to in my build controller, and I check in NuGet there. So now how I wire that all up, let me go back to the other solution that has the template loaded, is that you can do some, I'm going to go up here to the process NuSpec guy. You send in the path to NuGet. So it's this, you know, it's this kind of this generic build assembly directory plus NuGet XE. Well, the way that you can calculate that again, this is demoware, right? We don't hold any of this to be any kind of a good standard. Is that we say, well, I'm going to look at something I know that's going to be in that folder. I'm just going to go and find it where it's landed, because Team Build, there's a naming standard under the service account under like some hidden folder, right, where the stuff gets dumped. So you can kind of infer the path on where that stuff's located, do a path.combine, and now you can just pretty much throw things in there that you need. Instead of having build machines with like a well-known directory structure, we have like that infamous C:\build tools, right? And you have to keep it replicated. You can use source control as a mechanism to kind of replicate all that. Did that answer your question, Justin? We'll keep going here, and if not, just go ahead and post another question here. So now, right, I've done stuff in my dev branch. I've done some interesting things, and now it's time to merge. So I'm a build guy, right? I'm gonna tell you that that branching and merging, obviously it's good, everyone likes it. But the way that you signal that way to say, look, I've been doing all my development at the end of my sprint, I really want this to go somewhere, I'm going to do a merge event in the main. I'm going to go ahead and elevate that code to another spot. So we're just going to go ahead, do a little merge action here. All right, just going to blindly merge everything because we're good like that. We're just going to hope that works good. Check that in. So now I have my big build. So people like to refer to this as nightly. Most time, at least in my experience, those builds that can consume as much time as they need to do as much processing as they want, you don't really need to, you know, they don't always happen at night. So I like some of the kind of the old school Microsoft terminology that is a big build. In this case, all that's different is that there's a flag that I set to say mainline build is true. And this is the signal that instead of changing that third number in the version, we're going to change the fourth number so we have something distinct. We're going to do a big build, and we're going to take that output, and we're going to put that into the release feed. So I'm going to go ahead and kick that off. And just to kind of tie off on the versioning stuff, when you create a build definition, there's a whole date format that goes in here, and that's all pretty interesting. But if you look at this guy right here, this rev dollar dot r. This guy is an internal variable in team build that says I'm going to match everything to the left out of it, and for everything to the left of it, I'm going to count and I'm going to give it a unique number. So if you need something like a dot one build, a dot two, a dot three, a dot four, as long as everything to the left of this special variable is the same, you're going to get a nice, you know, a nice version number. You're not checking stuff into source control consistently. You don't have a work item out there that has a version number. You're not hitting a SQL database somewhere that has it. You have something that's kind of built in for you, and it's kind of nice. So we're going to go ahead back here and look at our builds. Looks like our big build's done. This is good. We're going to open the drop folder. And so we have now 1001, right? So we've changed, right? I'll go to my build drops folder and you say that we have the CI build and we have the big build. So big build one worked great. Now, if we look at our CI feed, we'll kind of jump over here. It's going to look a little odd, but we actually have two, which is kind of interesting. But we'll just kind of plow through it. That's really not the intent. We're going to go and elevate, we're going to go and elevate the, that mainline build into the release feed. It's okay. I know what I'm doing. Harmful is fine. So in here we have a couple of guys down here, right? We have the last CI build in this one. And, now in the release feed, now the release feed is the way that we signal that those other teams that we're ready for you to consume that. Away we go. So now what's great about this is I'm going to go ahead and kick off just a random CI build. And I think what happened, the reason why that 1002 is still in the CI is that the feed sometimes locks these new pack files. So you have to be careful at times, and that's probably why they introduced the publishing. So we're going to go ahead and build this guy real quick. Simulating kind of like the next round of development, right? Our CI build's kicking off. So while we're doing this, what's the best practice adding NuGet packages and checking in TFS that way? Oh, okay. So that I think you're referring to talking about basically when I consume a package, how does that get into source control? Now, when I go to the last part of the demo, I can kind of show that working. There's actually a packages folder that gets checked into source control. It's in 1.0. It's a little bit unrefined, but it still works pretty well. And it looks like I'm getting some feedback. We make sure that I slow down on my mouse clicking, and I will go ahead and do that. Okay, as you can see now, we're starting to accumulate a lot of things here in the CI build. So I'm gonna touch IIS real quick, and actually just the app pool that the feeds are going, so I can clean these up here, and we're gonna kick off a new build to kind of show. You know, this idea of, you know, managing that CI, taking stuff from the release feed and putting it in. So while that's going in the background, I'm going to flip over back to the presentation. So now what we're going to do is we're actually going to consume it, right? We're going to create a simple project. We're going to consume that core assembly, and then get that into a build. And then we're going to see what happens when we're going to kind of do both these at the same time for time purposes, right? Just going to create a build or create a project, consume the core, check it into version control, do a build, and then see what happens if we get out of sync, right? And we'll simulate that by kind of hacking around inside of the project structure. All right, so our CI build just ran. Okay, so as we see now, right, I kind of tickled IIS. We now have in our CI package, or in our CI packages repository, we have 1.0.0.1, which is our released version, and 1.0.4.0, which is our CI version. Right, so now, next time I do a build, the framework CI5, it should be 1.0.5.0 and 1.0.0.1. So hopefully that's making some sense. So a good question, Chris, how do you roll back to a previous version if you have a broken package component? Well, the great thing about CI is something that you should only be using in, you know, at least in my perspective, is very infrequently. So in my world, CI environment is more of a going forward environment versus a rollback. The release version, right, in your release feed, that's where you would go into your build drops, the build outputs of your various mainline builds, and then manage what packages are in the release feed. So, I would say use CI as a go forward, you know, fix the bugs, release, use the build outputs to go and grab the packages. Okay, so let's go ahead and quickly, before we run out of time here, we're just going to create another project in the widgets core. And we're going to go ahead and take that package on here. So we're just going to create a quick little MVC3 site here. Go to widgets.com. We're going to go to our dev branch. We're going to call this, you know, the home site. And we're just going to blindly add it to source control. We're going to make an empty razor page. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go into the release feed. And I'm going to go and grab the core assembly. So widgets.core. So we've installed that now into here. You see we have a reference now to widgetsframework.core. We'll go over here to source control. Oops. And we'll look at widgets.com in our dev branch. Now you can see that right now that this just looks like a plain vanilla one. You know, what happens is that since this reference is a relative reference, right now the way that I handle that kind of addressing the one question is I check in the packages folder into source now that I have that good relative kind of mapping. So now I'm referencing it. We're going to create a basic controller. The home controller, and I'll fix my typo here. And we'll go ahead and framework core version helper get version. So we're just going to do a real simple kind of guy here. We're just going to return basically a simple little object, add the view. So we're just going to say dynamic. And then we'll go back here and make sure we called it ver. And then we'll just do a real simple, just kind of print it out. So if I've wired everything up, I should just come up with a basic page that says index and says 1.0.0.1. And good. All right, so we're just gonna we're gonna quickly iterate over this and just return back string here. And if we don't get this going, we're just gonna keep going with the demo, and we'll just trust the fact that at some point this actually does kind of wire up. All right, so. So now we've gone ahead and created a site list while that's warming up. We'll go and create a build for all of this. All right, good. So here we go. Right, we're printing 1001. So that's the version number of the version of core that we have. That's great. Things work. We're gonna go ahead and check this in, and then we're gonna create a simple build. We'll just be a bad developer. We'll go ahead and just create a simple, new build definition, and we'll call this a home site. Workspace, we're going to go ahead and just pick the widgets.com dev as our guide there. We're going to just localhost build drops. Now, from the process like I was talking about before, you have the way to reference even the same name templates in different projects. So we're going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to change the versioning down here so that we get that nice little guy where we say, you know, home site.1, home site.2. For the interest of time, we're going to turn off source indexing, and we're going to turn off testing, so it builds quicker. And our custom thing, mainline builder, is going to keep the same as before. So now go back here. We're going to go through and build a home site. And while that's building there, let me look at the questions. It does seem cumbersome, and I agree with you that, Steve, and that the base of the question is that the CI builds look useless because it's hard to kind of go back and forth. But what you can do is you can go through, you know, and unfortunately we don't have time to kind of show that, the idea of, the idea of uninstalling a package and reinstalling it, right? The idea really of the CI, of that CI feed, is really to be done only if either for a team to test out their own package with maybe some kind of a test site. And it looks like we have a build error, which is really good. The other thing is that if you're working hand to hand with a team, they can go and take a build and not necessarily check into the repository, right? They can just go ahead and just do some local integration. But it's also a way for, it's primarily meant for teams that are producing the NuGets to kind of do their testing. And again, this is a very crude kind of elevation process, right? The idea of this talk is to kind of demonstrate concepts of using, you know, source control, branching, NuGet, and a little bit of build automation to kind of like weave it all together. And I'll have my contact information after you have more questions. Feel free to email me. Okay. So it looks like it doesn't. Looks like we're having a problems resolving our source because I didn't check in the repository. So this is one of those things. Kind of back to the question about how do you when you take in a package, you know, how do you kind of resolve it back and forth? I believe the 1.1 version of NuGet, they're doing a lot of good stuff with Team Foundation or source control interactions. Are going to that story, so we're going to go ahead and kind of build this again. Make sure we get through that. Because the next thing we're going to do, while that's building, we're going to go ahead and we're going to kick off another main build. And the reason why we're going to do this is we're going to create a second version, and we're going to pretend that the framework team has now updated from 1.0.0.1 to 1.0.0.2. And we want to actually fail the home site build. So we're going to keep that queued. We're going to go back and watch this guy. Okay, good. We have a successful build now. So now the mainline build for framework is going to go kick off, and we're going to go and elevate. So just to kind of tie off, right? Real simple, basic build of a website that uses a NuGet package that's produced by another team. We have that integration where it's elevated up to a CI, and now our dependent team or producing team is creating another package. And we have a partially successful. And we can't copy it because we're having some file locking problems. Not a big deal. We're going to go to the release packages. And I have not changed any code inside of the framework site. So we're going to go back to this big build. See that now we're at 1002. So we're going to elevate that up here. And we're going to pretend that 1001 is not a viable release one anymore. So we're just going to basically say, oh, just get rid of it. And it's locked. So we will just tickle IIS. Apologize for the flickering here. Recycle that guy. And there we go. Now we've gone through and we've now made our release, our packages, only say 1002. So if I go back to my home site, and we're gonna play the part of the I don't want to change anything because my stuff works and I don't want your new stuff to roll. We're gonna say we're gonna get package remote. We're gonna see what's out there. So you see widgets core is at 1002. My package config tells me that I need 1001. So now we're gonna go queue this build. And what should happen is we should get a partially successful with a message that says, hey, you have a version of widgets core that's not supported anymore. Let's see if we have more questions. In the config, so here we go, right? It's no longer supported. We're still going to go ahead and compile because your local project or that local, the widgets.com project has that packages folder with that stuff cached. But now we have a flag. We have that governance part, right, that says, you know, all right, so widgets.com is taking dependency on the framework team. They're on an old version. Maybe project manager, dev lead, developer didn't talk to another one. But now we have at least a way to, like, you know, kind of like show you, right? This is a way to say you're on a version that we don't want, no longer support. Now there might be good reasons for it. You know, you're off release cycle, you have other business objectives, whatever it is, right? But this is at least a way, you know, thinking through that process, right, of saying I have NuGet, I'm using it as a release management aspect to help teams communicate with each other. So let's see. That is the essence of my demo here. So I'm just going to open up for extra questions here. Email, I have a really long name. Sorry about that. Twitter's a little shorter. Contact me on both. I have a blog that's been neglected over the last little bit, but a lot of the content from this presentation, code samples, and tricks I've done with build or, you know, other things will start publishing, being published up there.